Perhaps you, like me, have been continuing to enjoy hearing from some older saints on a Sunday evening. You know, there's been this series, Before They Leave the Stage. And then there's also been a further series called Stories to Tell from using the Heath Church in Cardiff YouTube channel. And it's fascinating to hear what older saints are saying. There was one lady who they had pre-recorded because I think they said that she was on the edge of Jordan. So she was there, she's obviously receiving oxygen, but they were keen to hear what she had to say before she passed to glory. The last words can come with great poignancy because you're really focused on what matters most. Now, at the end of the Bible, we're coming to the very last words in the scriptures. This is kind of the last thing in inspired scripture that God has to say to us. And we're going to focus on what I think is the final command of scripture. And it's one word, and it's repeated. And it's the word, come. Now we're going to see this morning that word come in three different contexts. And the first one is this: there is a commitment to come. A commitment to come. So let's listen in verse 12. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "Behold, I am coming soon." And just in case we didn't hear it, in verse 20, he who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming soon." Now, this is underlined. The first time he says, "Behold," and the second time he says, "Surely." As if we would be in any doubt on what the Lord Jesus Christ says, he just wants to underline it to us and focus us on this absolute commitment or promise to come. Now, you might say, well, when is he coming? Well, he says, "Behold, I am coming soon." Now, some of you might have in your Bibles, "I'm coming quickly." Now, that's because this word can be translated and is translated elsewhere in Scripture in one of two ways, either soon or quickly. And you can see why the translators struggle, because both things are true. He's coming soon and he's coming suddenly. We certainly know that his coming is going to be sudden. He describes it elsewhere as coming like a thief in the night. And thieves don't announce their presence. Jesus said, "I'm coming at an hour that you do not expect." We looked together, didn't we, at this, the parable of the 10 virgins. And they were all asleep. And there's nothing more sudden that you know is when you're suddenly woken up. And maybe you're thinking, well, this is the Christmas holidays. This is one time when I don't have my alarm. I personally have got 4 alarms, which can go off at different times. And you know that when you're woken up, it's sudden. You weren't expecting it. It's certainly sudden. So some would want to translate this, he's coming quickly, in the sense of when he comes, it's not going to be, okay, I'm coming in a year's time announcement, I'm coming in 6 months' time, I'm coming in a month's time, I'm coming in a week's time, I'm coming in a day's time. No. He's just going to come. And so we know that it's true that 2022 may not happen. Because when he comes, he'll come in a moment. And he will be there. But it's also true that he's coming soon. And in this sense, this is the next item on God's agenda. So if God had a wall planner showing human time, obviously God's not subject to time, but on the wall planner it would say the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, as that happens, on time. The life of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the ascension of Christ, the reign of Christ, that's where he is now. And the next item on that agenda is the return of Christ. That's what's going to happen next. And the first generation awaited it. You know, when we looked at the start of the book of Acts, and when those disciples were told In Acts 1, when they stood staring into heaven, they were told this message. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. And in the early church, they were wanting to be ready for him coming back. Now notice, they didn't say, you will see him, he's come in the same way. They were just told he would come in the same way. They're like, well, we saw him go, maybe we'll see him return. And every single generation of believers has always thought, is this the time? And that's how he wants us to be. Think about those virgins again. It was the next event on the calendar. Yes, there was a delay, but that was the next thing that they were waiting for. So, the scripture teaches he's coming suddenly and he's coming soon. Now, in this passage, I've kind of gone both ways on that this week, but I think context probably leans towards soon. Why do I say that? Because I think verse 20, he who testifies these things says, surely I'm coming soon, amen, come. Now that seems to me to make more sense if the coming is approaching rather than is rapid, the immediate call to come. But I'm not going to fall out with you if you err on the side of quickly in this passage, because both the scripture teaches both things, and this passage will teach one thing. It seems to be that it's the next thing on the agenda. So as the Bible ends, why is the scripture ended? Because God's got nothing more to say to us apart from the last trumpet and the call to arise. That's the next word of the Lord Jesus Christ, to call his people to himself, to call the dead in Christ to arise. But either way, the key emphasis of this passage is not the imminence, it is the certainty. Because it's the emphasis, behold, I'm coming soon. Surely I'm coming soon. It's the commitment to come. Now, I don't know if I've used this illustration before. If I have, no apologies. I think it's a good one to repeat. So, 1942, General Douglas MacArthur left the Philippines as he was driven out by the Japanese. The Americans withdrew, the Japanese came in. And the people of the Philippines had got to choose which side they were on. Were they going to think, I'm going to hold out on the side of the Americans, or am I going to hold out on the side of the Japanese? Well, before Douglas MacArthur left the shores, he said, I shall return. And there were many people on the Philippines who clung on to that promise. It was found on cigarette packets, it was found on bars of chocolate, it was found on little sewing kits. And all over the Philippines, the Japanese could pick up these annoying wrappers, which stated, I shall return. Because the people were saying, well, the Japanese seem to be on top, but we trust the promise of MacArthur, I shall return. Now, if the promise of a mere man who was driven out by a greater force caused people to hope, how much more should we cling on to the promise of the Son of God, who didn't leave because he was driven out, but because he ascended to reign? How much more should we encourage one another, if we're believers this morning, with this promise, I am coming soon. Behold, I'm coming soon. Surely I'm coming soon. And you might say, well, but why has it taken so long? Well, why has it taken so long? We get the clue in verse 12. Behold, I'm coming soon, bringing my recompense, my consequences, to pay each one according to what he has done. And 2 Peter 3 tells us that he is not willing that any should perish, but desires all to come to a knowledge of the truth. So if you today do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, why has he not come to give you recompense for what you've done? Because of his mercy. He's delayed to give you another chance. He's coming soon, Surely he's coming soon. Behold, he's coming soon. He's coming soon to give everyone recompense for what he has done. It's certain. But in his mercy, he gives another chance, which is why in this passage it moves on from the commitment to come to the call to come. How do God's people respond in this context? Well, they respond. Look at verse 17. As the Spirit of prophecy equips them, they cry loudly, come. It comes three times. The Spirit says, come. The bride says, come. The one who hears says, come. Where do we get that threefold come from? Well, it reminds us of Isaiah 55, verse 1. You could turn there with me. We read it at the start, but it's worth reading again. Remember, how does Scripture underline things? It doesn't have underline, it doesn't have bold, it has repetition. If we see something coming again and again, the Scriptures is saying, take note. Isaiah 55, come, everyone who thirsts. Come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. This is the call to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit says come. The Spirit through the Scriptures. The bride of Christ calls come. Who's the one who hears? Well, who can hear? Only believers can hear because they had their ears unstopped. So when the believer, it's got this idea that the church in general might be saying come, but the individual believer in their own personal evangelism hears and says come to those that they know. Parents say come to their children. And then it says, let the one who is thirsty come. And you can imagine the scene, can't you? You're in a desert, and you've got your water bottle, and there's not a dribble in it. The sun has evaporated even the little dribbles that were down the side. You are desperately thirsty, and you're seeking water. Where are you seeking it? Where are you seeking? What is in the bottle? Well, why is the bottle dry? Well, maybe because you've been trying to drink. Maybe this is you this morning. You've been able to trying to drink at the bottle of pleasures. I just want to have some fun. Maybe you're desperately seeking relationships. Think about the Samaritan woman. She'd had five husbands. The man with whom she was living was not her husband. And this call is saying relationships ultimately don't bring this satisfaction. The kind of pseudo relationships of pornography do not bring the satisfaction. The kind of virtual kind of projection of image. Some people today are obsessed with building their image. It won't satisfy. What are you drinking, really? The wages of sin. What does the Lord Jesus Christ offer? Life. That's the idea. Let him who is thirsty come. And what does it say immediately next? Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. What have we already said about the Lord Jesus Christ? 2 Peter chapter 3. Is he willing for you to come? Yes. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to knowledge of the truth. Is he willing? Well, he keeps repeating the word here, come. So the question today is, are you willing to come? He's willing to have you. Are you willing to come? Are you willing to turn from your futile life of sin? And are you willing to make him Lord? A complete turning and a complete trusting. You throw away the bottle that is parched, cannot hold water, and you take from the water of life. That's the call to come. Now, sometimes people get to the stage when they're thinking, well, yeah, I accept I accept. I know the frustration of trying to find pleasures, and it's like, you know, you kind of, Christmas is all very exciting, isn't it, Christmas Day? You know, when you're growing up, Christmas Day is very exciting. And some of you are a bit older, so maybe you're 5, 6, or 7, Christmas Day is very, very exciting. Very exciting. And then you kind of get to 8, 9, 10, still very exciting. 11, 12, 13, getting a bit less exciting. 14, 15, 16, you look at maybe younger siblings and think, I was excited like that once. And then you get a bit older and you're thinking, oh well, it's, you start to enjoy the Christmas pudding. But it's not quite got what it's got. And people are like that with life. They realise that they've gone for all the pleasures, they've gone for all the fun, and they realise, actually, they wake up with a hangover. Whether it's real or virtual, they realise that these pleasures don't satisfy. But you know what? The tragedy that some people do, instead of coming to the fountain of the waters, they try to kind of construct themselves some other way. They try and dig their own well. They desperately think, well, I want to do something myself. They're kind of cleaning up their life, doing a bit better, turning over a new leaf. But this passage just says, come. The Lord Jesus Christ has done it all. He says, if any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He offered the Samaritan woman living water. So let me ask you today, maybe that's you. Maybe you're someone who, yes, you understand that the pleasures don't really cut it. But you're still trying to do something yourself. You're not willing to swallow your pride and come to Christ. This passage says, come. Are you willing to come? To turn from your way, your self-righteousness, and make the Lord Jesus Christ Lord of your life. He says, come. He's willing. And he says, are you willing? What does it say in the passage? Let him who is thirsty come, and let the one who desires. All that you need is a desire to come. Now, when you go through a UK airport, remember those days when you could go to airports and go through airports? But if you go to a UK airport, you have the experience that you're about to get on a plane, you know there's going to be air conditioning, you know you're going to be thirsty. But when you come to security, what do you have to do with all your water? Well, that all needs to be poured away. And then you get through security, and then you've got to wait for the plane. And so if you're in a British airport, there's lots of people willing to charge you large amounts of money to buy a simple bottle of water that you've just poured away 10 seconds ago. But if you're in an American airport, you don't have to buy one. There's water fountains all over the place. Now, you can come to the water fountain and you can fill up your bottle. But there might be someone there who says, oh, I don't want to fill up from that common water fountain. I just don't want to be like, have that kind of public thing. It's a bit ordinary, isn't it? And there are some people who are a bit like that. They are pride. There is intellectual arrogance. There is an unwillingness to come and take the free water. It's like having that water fountain in the airport and you're thirsty and you can come to it, but you just need to realise that's what you've got to come to. There's only one way. There's one fountain. And you say, well, I want to just kind of reason this all out and ask all these intellectual questions and all this stuff. Well, what do we need to do? We just need to swallow our pride, put away our intellectual arrogance, turn from our own way, take Christ as Lord, and come. Come. Remember, he is willing. There's only one reason that people don't come. It's because they're not willing. Not because he is not willing. We've seen here, three times you're called to come. The Spirit says come. He says, I enable the Lord Jesus Christ to go to a cross. The Spirit, remember, descended on Christ at baptism, took him into the wilderness to battle against the devil, led him to the cross. The Spirit empowered Christ to suffer. And he says, come. He says, I raised him from the dead. Christ, declared to be the Son of God, with power, raised from the dead in the power of the Spirit. The Spirit says, come. What about the bride? The bride rejoices to be saved. Think about the Samaritan woman. She says, I've had all my sins blotted out. I've had satisfaction. And the bride says, come. What about the one who hears? Maybe you've got a parent today, and you, maybe it's been in family worship, maybe it's been in personal conversation, maybe it's been when they speak to you, and they have said to you about this living water, about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they've said again and again and again, because they've heard, they've known, they've tasted, and they've said, come. And this passage encourages us to think, why be kept out of heaven? If he's so willing, it just says, come. Well, we've seen two things so far. We've seen a commitment to come from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've seen this call to come from the Spirit and the bride and the one who hears. Well, finally, what is the response for those of us here this morning if we know the Lord Jesus Christ? There is a cry to come. This is in the heart of the bride. When the bride hears the groom say in verse 20, surely I'm coming too soon, there's an instinctive response. Come, Lord Jesus. Elsewhere there's that word Maranatha, but in this passage, it's the same come as in the previous two times. The same Greek word. The cry to come. And what is the implication here for the bride? If the bride wants the groom to come, it's to issue the gospel call. Because 1 Peter 3 verse 12 talks about waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God. Well, how do we do that? Well, in Acts chapter 3, there's a striking message from Peter. Peter calls on the Jews to repent. And he says, repent, therefore, and turn back that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. So Peter's preaching and he's saying, I'm preaching to you because I want the Lord Jesus Christ to come. And for him to come, the bride needs to be ready. And every single person that makes up the bride needs to be there. So if you as a Christian today are crying, come, then that's an encouragement for you to say, come to anyone that you know who hasn't yet come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a second implication here, and it's this, that the future gets brighter. You see, we know the next item on God's agenda. He's coming soon, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that's what's happening. We know the future. I don't know how much you like planning. You know, some people are like meticulous planners, and they've got everything kind of nailed down, and if they've got all that plans in place, they don't want to be knocked off course. And they're frustrated, hasn't it? This last 18 months, we're sitting at Christmas time. Everyone's like, we'll make plans. Oh, we might have to change plans. We'll make plans for New Year. We might have to change plans. Can we plan for 2022? Or are we going to have to change plans because of some irritating restriction that knocks our plans off course? Well, for the believer, we can say the future gets brighter. We can face 2022 with confidence. Because we know the future is going to get brighter. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. And he may come before 2022. Because the Lord Jesus Christ loves to hear the prayers of his people. And the prayers of his people for 2,000 years have been saying, come. Well, I was reflecting back, as sometimes I do at the end of the year, to the past year, and even to last year. And I was thinking about the 15th of March 2020. Now, what's significant about the 15th of March 2020? Well, 15th of March 2020 was the last time we met physically together before going into lockdown. And I remember thinking, what should I speak about? Because we could see what was coming. Should I speak about COVID or should I speak about the gospel? And my conclusion was to speak about the gospel and about the grace of God from Matthew 20, about whether people knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their king. And the reason for that choice is because in my mind I wondered, would I see the people again, all of them? And you know what? The answer is, in some cases, so far, no. Not because they have passed to a different world, not because of death, but because of choice. And that reminds me, and that should remind us, that we never know when we will hear our last sermon. We never know when we will hear that call, come for the last time. This tells us he is coming soon. And he says come. And this says to us, there is one thing to plan your life and my life on. And it is his commitment to come. So what should this encourage us to do? Again, let me encourage you today. If you do not know for sure the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not ready for him to come and go through every single thing that you've ever done and give you what you deserve, if you're not ready for that, then this should be number one on your agenda. You can bank your life on his call to come. It's free. Let me say again, the only thing, the only restriction it says here, look again at verse 17. Let the one who is thirsty come, let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Why perish from thirst? When if you turn from your sins fully without leaving anything back, not holding anything back, make him fully in control, thank him for dying for you, you have that living water. What a way to end 2021. He calls you to come and you say, I'm coming. And then you will be able to say with every believer here, the words of verse 20, when he says, surely I'm coming soon, you will say, come Lord Jesus, I'm ready. You've cleansed me. Thank you for calling me. Please come and complete your work. May everyone here know the joy of being able to call come without reservation. Amen.